This is Ursula K. Le Guin, and you are listening to KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience, KBOO, Portland.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from People's Food Co-op, a community-owned natural foods cooperative featuring farm-direct organic produce from more than 30 local farms, bulk foods, and a farmer's market every Wednesday year-round. Located at Southeast Tibbetts Street and 21st Avenue in Portland for almost 50 years. Online at peoples.coop.
Good evening and welcome to Transpositive. Tonight we're talking with the creators of a new trans and non-binary centered zine called Held. So first, let's all go around and introduce ourselves. I'm Nicolette and I use AM pronouns.
My name is Emma and I use she and her pronouns.
My name's Molly and I use they, them pronouns.
My name's Kaya and I use they, them pronouns.
My name's Simi, and I use she, they pronouns.
All right, great. So to start off, can you tell us about yourselves and what your project is?
Yeah, so as I said, I'm Molly, and I live in the New Jersey area on Lenape land. All of us are recent graduates, graduated in the last few years, and Simi is my best friend from high school, Kai is my best friend from college, and so that's kind of how we all know each other. We decided to put this zine together as a way to center trans and non-binary pleasure. The trans and non-binary experience is really about embodying your most pleasurable existence, and so we feel that pleasure is not trivial at all, and it is actually really central to trans and non-binary liberation. And so we wanted to put together something that centered that.
All right, great. Anyone else want to introduce themselves?
Sure, yeah. So I'm Kaya, and as Molly said, we went to college together. And my sort of experience with this kind of organizing came from my senior year. I started to work on a trans visibility campaign that was founded by another close friend of mine at Wellesley. And so we did sort of a week of events, and I just got so much joy out of seeing how useful that was on campus and how positive an impact it had on people. So when Molly came to me with this idea, they were sort of asking, you know, do you think this is worth doing? And I just immediately said, absolutely. This would be a fantastic thing to do, just to get people together to celebrate their pleasure and find joy, especially at the moment when that's not at the forefront of people's minds.
And yeah, so I guess where I come into the story is that last year I was working a lot on a project called Black Joy Collective, which is a collective of friends that were spreading and sharing joy around with the Black community in New York, centering trans and non-binary people, sex workers, disabled people, and from that and seeing how much that did for the community, especially at a time where there was so much violence on Black people, like prevalence in media, I mean, as always, I think that's where a lot of my experience with this type of work has come in specifically on social media. So similar to Kaya, Molly hit me up and was like, yo, what do you think about this? I was like, say less, this sounds amazing. So I've been doing a lot of the social media stuff. So that's where I come into the story.
Yes. All right, awesome. So just to back up a sec for people who might be confused, what exactly is a zine? Can you explain that?
I think the more we think about what a zine is, the more fluid the concept feels. But it's basically a do-it-yourself magazine or a compilation. So in our case, what we wanted, so when we were kind of thinking about what we wanted this to be, initially I had this idea because I was thinking that I had gotten a lot of pleasure out of understanding my gender more, and that allowed me to engage with pleasure more. And the more that I talked to my trans and non-binary friends, I found that they had also learned a lot through understanding their gender about pleasure. And so I wanted to get that knowledge together in some way, and kind of be able to process it and learn more from other people and allow everyone to kind of learn. I think that people who have had to think about their gender have a lot to teach all of us about gender and pleasure. And so when we were thinking about the best way to compile it, a zine felt like the right way because it felt like we could take a lot of different types of media together. So the zine for us, we decided to make it a digital zine so that we could have not just art and writing, but also video and interview and all those different types of formats. So I think that's the windabout answer about what a zine is.
Okay. Yeah. So like what format or platform are you using to publish your zine? Is it online, printed? It sounded like you're taking multiple forms, possibly.
Yeah, so for now we're going to make it an online digital zine, and kind of depending on interest, we might print it. And we're looking at different platforms right now to see kind of which would be the best one to do that. But yeah.
All right, great. Yeah. So you describe the content of your zine as being about trans and non-binary perspectives on pleasure. Can you tell us more about what that means to you and what type of content your zine includes?
Yeah, so we're still in the review process. So the end conclusion of exactly what types of media we'll be in is some time away. But for now, it's going to most likely include poetry, photography, art, video. I actually was conducting interviews with people throughout the process. And so it's going to have little bits of interviews with people included throughout about gender and pleasure.
All right. So yeah, in your words.
Can I ask a question, Nicolette?
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Emma.
Okay, thank you. So I'm wondering if you can talk about the transition, like when people think about zines, at least when I think about zines, I'm a little bit older. And so I kind of think old school, like DIY Photoshop stuff that you kind of make, you know, like down at the local copy store. And it was like, it kind of came out of the context of a particular kind of social movement. So like, it really was like, it was part of punk culture. Like it was like this DIY culture about like kind of embracing the authentic experiences, like completely non-corporate, like, you know, and totally like embracing authentic voices. And like zines still play like an incredibly powerful role, a very important role in raising up marginalized voices, but also just creating like a sense of like community and a sense of like continuity of stories. I'm wondering how moving it into a digital format, does that transform the concept of what a zine is in any way for you?
So I think a lot of what you're talking about is still really present for the way that we're doing things. So I do hear what you're saying. The physical zine is such a powerful thing, and to be able to hold it and see the way that it's been made and the thought that's gone into it. One thing I will say is that we three are making it ourselves. So there's definitely going to be an element of, you know, just put together. None of us have a huge amount of developed skill online. We're just taking it as it comes. And for us, the reason we needed to do it online was because A, we all live quite far away from each other, and so we wanted to make something where we could reach the community across the globe, or at least across the Atlantic. And so to have the zine online means that the people who contribute to it can see it, can send it to people, can connect to it. And then we also have on social media, we're sort of trying to get people together and run events and things so that there is this coming together of the community and there is this feeling of togetherness in pleasure and in being trans and non-binary. We're definitely not trying to co-opt the zine idea. I also think part of it is that there's no other word for what we're doing. And this was the closest thing we could find. I don't know if Molly or Simi, you want to jump in and say more about that.
Yeah, I can jump in. I think something really cool also about doing a zine online is that, okay, so thing number one is that a lot of zines have been scanned online because it's a way to further disperse them, right? Not everyone is, as you said, not everyone's in the same location, so on and so forth. So it's almost like an equalizer in people receiving them. And spreads the breadth of who's able to see our zine. And also, as Kai mentioned, like we're all in different locations and everyone's kind of been scattered due to the pandemic. Hate to mention her here, but elephant in the room always. So, we've all been scattered and this is a way of making sure that people wide and far can be a part of this and can receive it. And I think something that's really cool that has come from us, just setting the intention that this is going to be online from the start is that we've gotten submissions from everywhere. So that's been really fun. And, as everything, so many things have evolved and changed as we have come into this like internet age. Again, hate to say it like that, but, I think zines are another thing that have evolved and like changed and still like physical copies of zines are important and should continue to be made. But I think this is like a cool other like way of doing it with the current situation.
Yeah, I think also the online format allows for different types of accessibility needs to be addressed, which I think is also a cool aspect to it. As well as the, in terms of the continuity of stories and the community building, I think we were not surprised necessarily, but we weren't expecting the community aspect to be built out as much as it has been. And so that's been a really nice part of it is the maybe the original format of community in a printed scene might look different, but this one allows us to build community with trans and non-binary people in so many different places and in so many different and creative ways.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So as you're talking about publishing this online, I know I've mainly seen you advertising this on Instagram. I don't know if you have any other social media that you're using. Do you have your own website for this zine, or how are you putting it out there?
So we also have a Twitter in addition to the Instagram, but I would say the Instagram is probably the better viewed part of the outreach. And in terms of where we're going to publish it, because obviously this is as of now funded by us, we haven't decided to do a website yet because we want to figure out kind of how much money we want to put into it, on what end. And so for now, what we're thinking is that we will put it on probably a digital format like Issue, which has a free option, which would work for us. And if we want to kind of make it out further, then we will build out a website and like have the issue publication in, within the website. It kind of just, it's very fluid as of now. So we're seeing the response, seeing how it comes together. And such as like right now, we're thinking about also making the zine more of an event space as well. And so if that's something that continues to develop, then a website might be something that we're more interested in doing to kind of house the zine and the community event aspect of it as well.
Yeah, great. So in your words, why is it so important to share trans and non-binary perspectives on pleasure? And what makes our perspectives on pleasure different?
So I think something that makes trans and non-binary perspectives on pleasure different is that we've had to consider our place in the world and consider how gender works in our lives in a way that a lot of cisgender people have not had to do. And I think what that allows us to do is kind of break barriers both internally and externally in terms of how we want to express ourselves and the expansiveness with which we can express ourselves. And I think gender expression, when done in a safe and free and liberated way, is one of the most pleasurable experiences that we can have. And so I think that trans and non-binary people have a lot to kind of teach us and show us about living out pleasure in that way.
I would also say that part of how important it is just that so many stories that you see about trans people, and definitely media coverage of trans people, is about pain and trauma. And there's so much to enjoy, and there is so much pleasure and so much freedom in being trans and non-binary. And we wanted to celebrate that and really, you know, have a space for people to shout their pleasure and their joy about who they are and what their experiences is, what their experience is. Also because there are ways in which, you know, trans and non-binary people experience pleasure in different ways to cis people. And there are lots of ways in which we experience pleasure in the same way. And so it's not necessarily about just sort of saying, well, this is how it's different. It's just saying we have pleasure, and that's a fantastic thing that is there to celebrate, you know?
I also think the aspect that pleasure is seen as something that's often frivolous or trivial, and especially in sometimes in liberatory movements, it can seem like that's secondary to what we're doing. But I think it's actually in a lot of ways very central to what liberation looks like. And so to say actively, this is not trivial, this is really important, this is actually central to what we're trying to do. And when we as marginalized people, as trans and non-binary people, center our pleasure in day-to-day life, we are embodying that current and future liberation.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. And I know we had actually just addressed something similar on our T-Dove show, where we talked about how we felt, or Rachel, I guess, felt the need for there to be a Trans Day of Visibility, because we already had a Trans Day of Remembrance, which was about mourning, you know, about the pain and suffering that so many trans people go through. But we also needed something on the flip side, something to celebrate, you know, the pride that also comes with being trans and celebrating who we are. And, you know, we talked about how we have so much focus around trans discussions surrounding gender dysphoria. Gender euphoria isn't even talked about as much, and I think it's talked about. So I appreciate that you're sharing that perspective with your zine.
Thanks. Yeah.
So,
could you talk about what it means to center pleasure as a trans or non-binary person, and also how that is an act of liberation? Mm-hmm.
So this idea draws a lot from the work of Toni Cade Bambara and Adrienne Marie Brown, in centering pleasure, the erotic, as Audre Lorde talks about. We're able to access the parts of us that are truest by accessing our pleasure. You know, we free ourselves up, you know, when oftentimes when you know you're like in the zone, feeling really happy, doing whatever it is that brings you the most pleasure is when you know that you're kind of like walking in alignment. And essentially walking in alignment with your gender is that too. It's freeing, it's happiness, it's fun. And so that is a facet of liberation in that, you know, when with how society tells us how we should or shouldn't be, in accepting, hey, actually, this is what makes me happy, it's very freeing, it's liberating, it's an important part of every movement, as Molly said. So I think that's kind of like our look around it, if anyone wants to hop on.
I'm starting to forget how exactly you worded your question. Could you just say it again, please?
Oh, sure. Can you talk about what it means to center pleasure as a trans or non-binary person, and how is that an act of liberation?
Okay, yeah. So with centering pleasure, and I think, yeah, so I'm going to approach this in two ways. I'll come back to the act of liberation, but with centering pleasure, I think one of the reasons Simi brought up Adrienne Marie Brown was that in pleasure activism and a little bit in emergent strategy, she talks about the full body yes and what it means to really make your decisions from a perspective of pleasure. And does it, you know, if you're about to do something, do you have a full body yes? Does your whole body sort of say, yes, this is what I want? And so when you live that way, obviously you can't do it across everything, but when you're centering that idea, it just means that your every moment becomes more pleasurable. And from, you know, one example is just sort of opening the fridge and saying, you know, do I want to eat this thing or that thing? And thinking, okay, this is a full body yes for me, and so that's what I'm going to do. Hopefully it's the most nourishing thing or nourishing in that moment, whether you need some chocolate because you aren't feeling your best. So that on just a really base level brings you a lot of joy in your life. And when you are feeling a lot of pleasure and freedom, you can make decisions that move towards more pleasure. And so then bringing in the liberation element, you get, okay, if you've got people who know what pleasure feels like and want to move towards more pleasure and more freedom, therefore, you know, it means that you have a movement that's centered around things getting better rather than things not getting worse or not being bad or not being, you know, insert any negative idea. It means you have something to move towards, and moving towards pleasure can be part of, you know, moving towards freedom. And that's just one of the main ideas that we have.
I think also in our society, as in capitalist society, there's a lot of shaming that goes around to everyone, but especially to marginalized people. And a lot of that shame can bring on numbness and bring us out of touch with what brings us pleasure and what brings us joy. And so kind of going in line with what Kai is saying is that when you feel pleasure in the body, you're rejecting this shame, you're rejecting this numbness, and you're understanding that whatever the society is telling you that is bringing you this pain is not right, and you start inherently moving towards liberation because you want to continue to feel that in your body. And so embodying the liberation means to feel it thoroughly. And so I think when you're centering pleasure in a day-to-day way in your life and you start to feel that in your body and understand that that is the way that you want to live, that you deserve pleasure, that you're entitled to pleasure, that joy is something that should be part of your life, you start moving towards that in all ways, both in your interpersonal relationships and on a larger scale for your activism.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I would also just add our favorite quote from Todi Kade Bambara, which is, make the role of the artist is to make the revolution irresistible. And that's what we really want, is to make liberation an irresistible thing to move towards, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm wondering, why is the zine called Held? Where did you get the idea for the name?
So we had a real session of throwing around names and trying to figure it out, but Held kind of stuck immediately once we said it, because that is one of the greatest forms of pleasure, is to feel held, both physically, but also I think of equal importance emotionally, right? That you are vulnerable with people that you share, and that you feel held in the space. And that's kind of one of the most beautiful parts of an intimate and safe relationship, and a relationship in which, right, you can't have pleasure without safety. And so I think the word held encompasses that entire idea of safety and pleasure and connection and vulnerability.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It's time for the KBOO Spring Pledge Drive. Did you know KBOO is 52 years old and one of the oldest community radio stations in the country and one of the oldest media institutions in Portland? KBOO programming focuses on local communities, artists, activists, people. We're independent, community-supported, volunteer-powered radio. KBOO has trained thousands of people how to make radio, all for free thanks to the support we receive from our members. 80% of our funding comes from our members. You can donate today by clicking Donate in the mobile app, texting KBOO to 44-321, or you can mail to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97214. The best way is to go to kboo.fm/give. Less than 10% of listeners are members of KBOO. So won't you consider donating today at kboo.fm/give? Thank you.
Is there anything else you'd like to share about just the history or creation process behind your zine?
I think speaking to the creation process, which we're in the middle of right now, sort of pulling it all together, I think we were just thrilled by the response we got from the community, especially online, and just how engaged people were. But we weren't really expecting it, so it's been a bit of a curve for us, because we've had to spend a lot of time going through submissions and trying to work out, you know, what shape the zine is going to take with so many submissions to consider. So it's really exciting that we've had so many people, and we're really thrilled about it, and also it's taking us a little bit longer than we expected. So one thing, you know, for people listening is just to know that we are working on it, and it's just the three of us, and we're really giving it everything we have.
Yeah. So you mentioned that, you know, it's taking a little longer than you originally anticipated. Do you at this point have an estimate for approximately when the zine should be published, or is that just still kind of a work in progress?
We're hoping for May, but I think one of the things that we've noticed with the zine is, because it is our first time putting a zine together, and what we're noticing is that as we kind of go through, new things come up, you know, troubleshooting different things, figuring out how different things work. So we're hoping for May, and we'll kind of see as the process goes along how long it takes.
Yeah, no, I completely understand. So are you currently still accepting submissions for your zine? And if so, what kind of content are you looking for people to submit?
We're not currently accepting submissions for the zine, but overall, any content is accepted, any kind of format. We wanted to kind of leave it as expansive as possible so that people could share in their pleasure in whatever way felt most sincere to them.
Okay, so like, are you going to be accepting more in the future? You're just trying to get an issue out, or is this going to be the full zine that you've got right now?
I
was just going to say, we're just taking it as it comes at the moment and really enjoying making this one. There's a possibility that in the future we might do it again. I think it will really depend on how this goes. And obviously, if we did it again, we'd be a lot more experienced. So that would be nice. But it would probably, if that did happen, it would sort of be in a year's time, I think, is what we have talked about. Correct me if I'm wrong.
How did the three of you come together to become collaborators in this project?
So Simi is my best friend from high school, and Kai is my best friend from college. And these are kind of, the topic of pleasure and liberation and the importance of pleasure is something that I've talked about with each of them individually extensively. It's something that, as we've read more work and engaged with each other, we've understood is really central to our lives and how we see ourselves, and that it's one of the most important ways that we can kind of take pleasure and liberation into our personal lives. So when I was thinking through that, I wanted to understand more about how pleasure works for people from a trans and non-binary perspective. They were already people that I had talked to about it so much, and I kind of already knew both of their backgrounds in terms of what they could bring. And I'm pretty sure it was a full body yes for both of them when I brought it up to them. So that's kind of how we came together as collaborators.
Kind of following up on that, one of the questions I often ask our guests on Transpositive, if they feel comfortable sharing it, is, would you feel comfortable sharing your coming out story?
I can go first on this one because it did tie in very closely with what I was talking about for my the trans visibility campaign that I did in college. Was for me, I think I just gradually sort of realized that all of my friends were trans and non-binary. At that point, almost every single person that I was surrounded by. And when a friend of mine came to me and asked me to help them run this campaign, I was sort of surprised because I felt like, this doesn't really feel like it should be my space. I don't want to take up space if someone else is going to be better suited to running it. And they sort of looked at me a bit funny and didn't really say anything. They were just sort of like, yeah, I think, you know, you're probably going to be the right person for the job. And while I was helping to set it all up and run it, etc., it just got to a point where I was sort of telling people my pronouns and it as she, her, and it just felt wrong. It just felt like a lie. And so I changed the pronouns I was asking people to use, and everything just kind of slotted into place. And it was perfect timing because I was running this campaign. And so I was just completely surrounded by trans joy and celebration of transness. So it just kind of happened very organically for me. And that was lovely.
Coincidentally, at the time that Kaya was surrounded by trans and non-binary friends, I was the last holdout. and so I think in a weird way, it was because I cut my hair short. That was the final straw. And essentially I was cutting it shorter and shorter, and then took a look in the mirror and felt this extreme sense of gender euphoria, which I had never felt before. And I was like, it seems like all these different pieces have just come together that I wasn't really naming as anything, but now I think I understand them. And because it was pretty easy in our friend group and our circles to change my pronouns and be out in that way, and it felt like a very safe space to do that, so I pretty quickly was able to share this information about myself, and that was really lovely. Since graduation, I've kind of had to think more about when I feel safe about being out and when I don't. And that's obviously shifted from, you know, workplace to friends and different kinds of environments. But I would say that's the general story.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, no worries. I think for me, it's been a very fascinating process. I think one day I just kind of was like looking at myself and I just like sat down and I was just thinking about like Blackness and gender and about how I just feel expansive. Like, I don't even know how to explain the feeling that I felt in that moment, but I was just like, whatever I've been like, the way that I had been identifying up until that point just like didn't make sense anymore. So it was kind of like a process that happened over like a summer where I was just like looking at myself, thinking a lot about also just like different aspects of spirituality and also just like Blackness. And I'm Nigerian, I'm Yoruba, and just thinking about Yoruba spirituality as well. And yeah, I think for me, I just felt so, and still feel just so expansive. It just felt very limiting. And that's kind of it for me. It still feels all very like vague in a very comfortable way. So yeah, that's me.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And I think that, you know, makes a lot of sense. I think gender is more complex and fluid than a lot of people realize. And so it's common to have feelings like that. Mm. Yeah. So I saw on your Instagram that you'll be co-hosting an event with Retrogradient Space this month. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. We're super, super excited to co-host this event with Retrogradient Space Dev. So the event is called Liberate Your TGNC Plus Pleasure. And so Dev is a life coach slash astrologer slash just amazing, amazing person who does amazing work. And we came to meet them at like our first held zine event. It was a meetup. And when they were talking about the work they do and they offered to do a workshop with us, we immediately were like, yes, 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 yes. So this idea came about through some conversations we had and a workshop that they wanted to do. So essentially it's kind of like a how to express and embody pleasure in your life. So we see this as a way to engage in pleasure, like solo or partnered, a way to talk about pleasure needs and desires. So, and also a way to talk about body dysmorphia, gender euphoria, so on and so forth, other complexities. So it's just an event where you can come, feel safe to journal, chat, whatever else. I know Molly has worked with Dev and can speak to Dev's work more, but I've just really enjoyed chatting with them about this, and we're just super, super, super hyped for this. So,
yeah, they're a very warm person. With really incredible energy, and just they know how to create a space in which you feel safe expressing yourself. And very much a lot of their work is in line with the purpose of our zine, and especially this event was something that we kind of thought of in conjunction together and is really in line with the purpose of our zine. And so while we're doing these events to create community and bring people together, we want to continue to create spaces for trans and non-binary people to come together virtually, because we found it means a lot to us, and it seems to mean a lot to the people who come. And using those spaces both as just a place to hang out in a safe way and also to learn something new and engage more further with ourselves.
Could you talk about some of the submissions that you've gotten? Like, what are some of your favorite, or not necessarily your favorite, but just what are some of the examples of content that you've gotten for your zine that you might feel comfortable sharing? So people have an idea of what they might be looking at when they come and see your zine.
We probably won't share the specifics, but I can sort of tell you the kind of content that we've really enjoyed. We've had some truly breathtaking poetry, which is going to be in there, and works of art, paintings. I can think of a few paintings which were just, we were just absolutely overwhelmed with how incredible people's submissions were. So yeah, there's some poetry, there's paintings, there's photography. We've got some video content that we're excited to share. Am I missing anything, other friends?
People have submitted like journal entries, letters mm-hmm. that they've written to their friends, very like stuff that we wouldn't have expected. And it's been really beautiful to see how people think about their own pleasure in such intimate and vulnerable ways.
What's the most unusual kind of submission that you've gotten?
I have a thought, but if Kaya or Sydney has one that they can remember that they feel was more unusual, but someone wrote a letter to their friend about how that friend has given them space to explore their gender, and how it was really a letter about the beauty and safety of their friendship, as well as their exploring of their own gender, which was just such a beautiful way to explore the need for safety to engage in pleasure and the joy of connection and freedom in that pleasure.
That's wonderful. You also mentioned that since your zine is a digital online zine, you're also taking video, you took video submissions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How's that going?
That's going well. We got some like drag performances mostly for video submissions or experimental art pieces. We had some spoken word poetry sort of spoken over a film, a short film. So yeah, so we've got some good video content and we're just trying to work out the best way to present it. Hopefully we'll be able to embed the videos directly. Otherwise we'll be sort of using images and you'll be able to click to the videos. So one way or the other, we will get our video content across.
Wow, it sounds like a feast for the senses. Thank you.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, this definitely sounds very exciting and I can't wait to see it all when it comes out. Emma, do you have any other questions or do the rest of you have anything else you'd like to talk about?
I just think it sounds really amazing. I mean, I love the way that you've taken the idea of a zine and transformed it into a digital platform. I guess one of the things I was curious about is where are you getting submissions from? Is it coming from all over the world? Is it mostly from the States? You know, is it like all age groups? What's your demograph?
It's been varied. I would say most of the submissions are from the States, but there are also submissions from Canada, from Europe, from the UK, all over really. It's not completely global. I think it's mostly been North America and Europe, which is something we'd love to expand if we do that again. And they just came from us posting about it on Instagram and on Twitter, and asking friends of ours to share it, you know, emailing people, texting people. But that was sort of what we were most surprised by, was how quickly that happened and how widespread it got, just through those quite limited areas of communication.
Okay. Yeah, so where can people find your zine or social media or otherwise get a hold of you?
Yeah, so you can follow us on Instagram at held.zine. So HELD.ZINE. Or you can follow us on Twitter at heldzine. You can also email us. Our email is theheldzine@gmail.com. And so, yeah, we'll let you all know when the zine is coming out, any other events we have. If you just want to drop us a line, DM us, email us, we'll hit you back. Yeah, that's where you can keep up with us and we can keep up with you too.
All right, great. So are we about ready to wrap up, or is there anything else we want to address?
I think that's everything from my end.
Yep.
All right, Emma, you good?
Yes, thank you so much. It's really been a pleasure. a pleasure having you on Transpositive.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a really great discussion, and this sounds very exciting. I am really looking forward to your zine when it finally comes out. This has been a great discussion. You've been listening to Transpositive PDX. We've been talking with the creators of the Held zine, which will be published online and hopefully coming out in May. One more time, I'm Nicolette. Everyone go around and say your names and we'll close out.
I'm Emma, and I just want to say that it's just so fabulous hearing trans and non-binary folks talk about pleasure and the centrality of pleasure in identifying as trans or non-binary, and also how liberatory it is. So thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. It's been really nice to be here. Also, I'm Molly.
I'm Kaya. Thank you for having us and for asking such insightful questions. It was lovely to get to reflect on these things again.
Demi here. It's been wonderful. Thank you both so, so much for this space.
Yes, thank all of you for being here. All right. Once again, this has been Transpositive on KBOO. Have a good night, everyone. Thank you.
It's time for the KBOO Spring Pledge Drive. Did you know KBOO is 52 years old and one of the oldest community radio stations in the country and one of the oldest media institutions in Portland? KBOO programming focuses on local communities, artists, activists, people. We're independent, community-supported, volunteer-powered radio. KBOO has trained thousands of people how to make radio, all for free thanks to the support we receive from our members. 80% of our funding comes from our members. You can donate today by clicking Donate in the mobile app, texting KBOO to 44-321, or you can mail to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97214. The best way is to go to kboo.fm/give. Less than 10% of listeners are members of KBOO. So won't you consider donating today at kboo.fm/give? Thank you.
Transgender people don't live here.
I've never met anyone who's transgender.
I swear I don't know someone who's transgender.
Transgender and non-binary people like me hear this all the time.
But according to the HRC Foundation, there are more than 2 million transgender people in the United States.
We live in every community across this country.
You might be surprised to hear that there are more transgender and non-binary people in the United States than there are
Starbucks, McDonald's, and Walmart locations combined.
In fact, if you put us all together,
there'd be more non-binary and transgender folks than the populations of DC,
or Nebraska,
or Maine,
or Idaho,
or West Virginia.
As a matter of fact, 15 states have a lower population than the amount of trans folks in the US.
So here are a few things to keep in mind.
You don't always know when a person is trans.
But we're your neighbors,
your coworkers,
your students,
your customers,
and even your friends and family.
We exist in every culture, todas las culturas, throughout human history.
And while we're more visible than ever before,
sometimes you just don't see us.
So when you hear about politicians pushing for discriminatory bills,
know this, these bills address problems that aren't even real.
Problems that don't actually exist.
But we do.
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 And we need your support.
Hi, this is Emma. So we have about 8 minutes left of showtime to fill, and I thought this would be a great chance to talk about the show and the last 5 years here at KBOO. We started producing Transpositive 5 years ago here at KBOO Community Radio. It was just a real treat. I submitted a program proposal, and it came out of my work organizing with the Portland Transgender March in 2014 and 2015. I had worked with folks from the Q Center on helping to organize the Portland Transgender March, and after that, I was looking for something else to do in the community, and I happened to know about KBOO because I'm also a producer for Prison Pipeline. And I was just so thrilled to think that maybe there would be interest at KBOO in doing programming specifically dedicated to the trans and non-binary community. And our first show, I remember, was an interview with Kate Bornstein. That was our very first show 5 years ago this month. And it was just so thrilling to interview someone who has really helped to shape the narrative around transgender identities from way back in like the 80s, and is still, you know, still a voice, has still been a voice all the way up through into the 2010s and going forward. We've had so many great guests on Transpositive over the years. We've basically been producing Transpositive every other week for the last 5 years. Lately, the crew is Nicolette, Jean, of course, myself, and then sometimes we also have Marcy helping out. And we've had such great folks over the years. We've had over the last five years, we've had about 10 other folks who have contributed to the show. And we've just been so grateful for it. So, and also just so grateful for KBOO. KBOO has been this really incredible community resource. And it's so unique. I mean, for people who live in Portland and sort of just have always had KBOO, I mean, I have to tell you, as someone who moved here from the South, and I saw what a struggle it was just to get a low power FM community radio station going and to get like broad spread community support. It's a real challenge. And here at in Portland, we just, you know, we have this gem of a radio station. It's this really incredible space. And, you know, I serve on the board now here at KBOO, and I've just been so impressed with the work that the management has done. The managers, Celeste and Jenna, have just been incredible managers here at KBOO, and they've done such a great job too of really making it real, the idea of beloved community, and really prioritizing the mission of KBOO, and really thinking about what role do we have as a community radio station in dismantling white supremacy, and and also combating racism. So I'm so proud of KBOO, and also that KBOO has really been here as a support over the years. I've gotten to know a lot of the queer community programmers, Alan Silver, who just recently stopped producing, who had a great show running for years, and part of the Out Loud Collective, and we're still part of the Out Loud. In my mind, we're still part of the Out Loud Collective now, because we are still broadcasting in the same time slot as when, you know, Out was, this is really the time that was dedicated to GLBTQ programming. Now, of course, it's a whole spectrum of programming, LGBTQIA, you know, BIPOC. And anyway, so this is our 5-year anniversary, and I just wanted to take a moment to just acknowledge how grateful I am to KBOO and to Portland. Portland has been a great town for trans folks. We have the Q Center, we have Basic Rights Oregon, we have Transactive, and we have all of these really great, like in the 5 years since I started producing, it's just been like this flourishing of trans rights. Trans folks have more access to surgery now than they did even just 5 years ago. There's all of these trans health programs being run out of the major hospitals, and there's people who are super qualified to do counseling and therapy. You know, we have healthcare centers that are just specifically run for the LGBTQ community here in Portland. So it's just been a real blessing. And I just wanted to say that for the last 5 years, I've just been so grateful every other Tuesday to have this incredible opportunity to share with you voices from our community. I think that there's just been so many great shows over the last 5 years. I can't even remember, you know, anyone that I wasn't really proud of. I mean, recently I was really happy to have Rachel Crandall Crocker on. I'm talking about Transgender Day of Visibility. You know, I've been really, really happy with having Lucy Fielding on, talking about transsexuality and intimacy, having this show on today, talking about pleasure and centering pleasure. Pleasure is an act of liberation. It's just, you don't get to have this kind of programming everywhere. And, you know, even here in Portland, hearing voices that are considered on the margins this is why we have KABU. We have KABU in order to center those voices and in order to center the voices of people who otherwise would maybe not get played, voices that would not get heard by mainstream culture. So KABU is a real gem. I hope that you will consider, this is just my own personal appeal, that I hope you will consider giving to KABU. We have a great budget. I can tell you as someone who is designated as the treasurer of KABU that we do a great job with the money that we get here at KABU. We have a great staff. We put out a really great product. And the reason that we're able to do it is because of your community support. Your support is really what makes all the difference here at KABU. If you can give, like, you know, maybe the price of like 1 hour's wages a month is a really great way to go. So like if you make a living wage, well, so-called living wage of $15 an hour, maybe that would be a good way to give to KABU. Or if you can give more, you know, if you happen to have one of those salaries that allows you to give a little bit more, maybe you could consider making a bigger donation to KABU. 80% of our donations come from you, our community members. And so you really vote with your dollars to support KABU. And you're telling us that we're doing a really good job because we've been around for 50 years. And it's all because of your support. So thank you so much for supporting TransPositive the last 5 years. Thank you for supporting KABU. If you can, please go to the website and go to KBOO/give. Go to /give and you will find us there. So thanks so much and have a great evening. Good night.
Island on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communication